You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. You are tuning in to WGOD. God's got a word for you today. Thanks for tuning in. For the next 30 minutes, we're gonna tune into God's frequency. He's always broadcasting. We're going to hear about his faithful servant, Moses, today. This will play today here on Friday. And TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Thanks for joining us here again today. We're going to hear the second installment of this five-part series looking at Moses, the man of God. Now, today's sermon is called Moses and the Burning Bush. This will wrap up on Monday. Sunday, I invite you to Island Community Church. If you are new to the area and if you like what you hear here on WGOD, then I invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. You know what to expect if you listen to this program. We're a relatively small church, 60 or 70 people, country Christian music, a lot of hymns, and if that's your style, if you like the preaching and the Bible teaching that you hear, because these radio broadcasts are the Sunday sermons from Island, so you know what to expect. And if you are new to the area, or if you're just sick and tired that your pastor doesn't use a Bible or never encourages you to open yours, then I invite you to come by our church. See if perhaps the Lord wants you to worship him here at our church. Serious thing, a very important question you need to ask yourself. Time is short. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. As our sermon last week was, the Lord Jesus said to the dead church, "Wake up, for I have not found your works perfect before my God." Now here this weekend, we're looking at the faithful church, where the Lord promises that he's opened the door that no man can shut. The faithful church has a blank check from the Son of God. What church are you in today? Are you a member of the faithful church? That's where we are going to be Sunday morning, 10:30. For more info, you can contact me, 321-482-1709, elected77@gmail.com. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Here's part one now of this message, Moses and the Burning Bush. Now, we left off last week in our study on Moses, the man of God. We were in Exodus chapter 2 last week. So let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Let me backpedal just a little. Now, Jacob is dead. Joseph, his son, is now dead, as well as all of his brothers. Pharaoh is now dead. That is the Pharaoh that feared God. Now, there's another Pharaoh in town that doesn't fear God. And we see that as this man has ordered the death of all the Hebrew males born. So this Pharaoh is known as the world's first abortionist that we know of. He kills babies by convenience. That makes him an abortionist. See, remember this. Abortionists don't fear God. If they did, they would be scared and they would not do the things that they do.
If you feared God, you wouldn't go around doing that. They would be like the midwives we're looking at here in Exodus. But those who know God understand that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things we've done in our body, whether good or bad. Paul then says, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That is, oh boy, if you've been where I've been, you better do what I say. So I say that judgment is coming to you abortionists and all those who knowingly and willingly work at Planned Parenthood and aid and abet the slaughterhouse that exists behind the scenes there, selling body parts like Dr. Frankenstein. While in the meantime, maybe you ask yourself, well, why are these people still alive? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Thank God, aren't you glad for the long-suffering of God today? When he could have done the same with any one of us. In chapter 1, Moses, God's deliverer, is born. And because a bunch of people feared God, Moses wasn't aborted, even though he was commanded by the government. The people there were commanded by the government to end his life. And the midwives feared God, and get this, they did not obey the government. Let's call it what it is this morning. They didn't obey the government. When the government told them, you must participate in abortion. The text tells us that they feared God rather than man. You know, I saw in England the other day, a woman got arrested for thinking outside an abortion clinic. Did you see that? She was in what I'll call an NPZ. That's a no prayer zone. When you're anywhere near an abortion clinic, you're not allowed to think. You can't think. Thinking is against the law near abortion clinics in England. They assumed she was praying. There's a picture of it of her standing here like this. She got arrested for thinking. What an evil world this is. As Jesus said, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and afterwards got nothing else that they can do to you. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he is killed, he's got the power to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. That's Luke 12:4. So Moses is born and is now at this point 40 years old when today's events unfold. Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way. All right, now catch the word picture here. He did the same stuff you did when you were a kid, right? He went like this. Watch. Hey. He looked this way and that, it says. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Can't just picture that. So when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And he said, who made you a prince over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, uh-oh. Time to get out of town. Or as Snagglepuss would say, exit stage right even. Time to get out of Dodge. All right, he said, surely this thing is known. And you know, it's the same thing with you too. You see, there's always someone watching you. And there's always someone listening. Always. I love this verse. Solomon wrote this. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. He says, do not curse the king, even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight will tell the matter. Wow, is this guy psychic or something? Even if no one sees, God sees all and knows everything. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they're going to give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, regarding Moses, he thought no one saw him, but he was wrong. So you know what the solution is to this, church? Always do the right thing. Do the right thing when no one is looking. I used to throw newspapers when I worked at the Florida Today. Boy, I never forget that day. I was throwing a newspaper to Hooters at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got the paper stuck in the bushes. So here it is. Can you imagine seeing this on TV? Here's Pastor Paul at 3 o'clock in the morning, crawling in the bushes outside of Hooters. What a story that would have made. But I could have left and left the newspaper there. And I said, you know, no one's watching. Who's going to see? I got out of my car anyway and went into the bushes and got the paper out and I put it where it belonged. Because I always remember, just like, you know, Paul said and the Bible says, that what you do, do it unto the Lord, not unto the men. Not unto men, not with eye service, for you serve the Lord Christ. He is the one you serve. So don't do it unto men. So, because there's always someone watching. So today, if you want to be a politician, you got to be that kind of person too. You got to be the type of person that no one can come out of the woodwork like a little bird and start singing about your past. Can you just see it now? I can see me running for office. Oh, you know, Pastor Paul was spotted in the bushes, peeking into Hooters at 3 o'clock in the morning. And But. There's always someone watching who sees you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Reminds me of this guy running for office. I loved him. This black guy, his name was Herman Cain. Ran for president a few years back. Well, you see, the evil men that run this country got scared because old Herman was becoming a little too popular. And the tweeting bird comes out of hiding against old Herman, and his run for president was then over. Because there's always someone watching. Or these days, there's always a balloon up there watching you. Always. So Moses goes into hiding, heads to a place called Midian, and sits down by a well. Now this detour in Moses' life cost him 40 years. And at this time, he meets his wife, has a son named Gershom, starts working for his father-in-law. And once again, we see the truth that God is able to take even our sins and missteps and cause good to come out of it, because that's what he does. Moses murdered a man. But God's grace was bigger than his sin. God's grace, isn't that a song? His grace was greater. Yeah, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sins. Grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sins. Now let's pick it up in verse 23 of Exodus 2. Now it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked on the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Four things there. Four things the text says that God did. Number one, it says God what? He heard. He heard their cry. He heard their cry for help, Richie. Same as you mothers and fathers here, who upon hearing the cries of your children, immediately you come to their rescue. How many of you mothers out here have slept with one eye open? Everyone with children here, and one ear always listening, right? You sleep so light, the slightest sound wakes you up. God heard their cry. The next thing God did was, it says, God remembered. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. God told Abraham, he said, look up now toward heaven and count all these stars if you're able to count them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. You see, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Like, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God keeps his covenant. God keeps his covenant that he made with you too. Like this, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. That's a covenant God's made with you. And he doesn't break his like we do. He keeps them. The Bible said, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Covenant, if you look up the word, it means an agreement. And there's an agreement that God has made with himself. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. God's doing a work in you, and he's not going to finish until he's done, and you can take that to the bank. Until either he's done, and that is you die and leave this world, or he comes back, whatever happens first. But remember, God's got his hands on you, and he's not going to quit working on you. God remembers his covenant he has with you. An agreement, if you will. Hear me now. That is, if you walk with him, and if you obey his commands, if you do what he says, then there's no stopping you, the child of God. And walking with God, all that means is not walking with the world. Agree with God about these simple things. Agree with God about abortion. That is, God's the creator of life. You don't have the authority to take it away. Agree with God about marriage. It's in the first book of the Bible. God said a man is to leave his father and mother, and the two become one flesh. Agree with God about salvation. That is, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. Walking with God is agreeing with him. There's only one way to have your name in the book of life. It's through his son. That's what walking with him is. Salvation in Christ alone. Now, perhaps you are the one who's broken an agreement. For instance, this country, the USA, has broken an agreement. We've broken our covenant we had with God. Listen to this. Starts with the word if. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn, wow. We're 0 for 4 on that one. Talk about breaking an agreement. If my people, and that's my people, he says, if my people who are called by my name, that would be Christian, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then I'll hear you from heaven, I'll forgive you for all of your sins, and I'll fill up Lake Mead again, by golly. Agreements are between two people. obedience is required on your part. You know, let me stop here for a minute. I will lay my reputation on the line here, because I truly believe that this covenant here I just read is in full force here at Island Community Church. I believe that. I'm accountable and responsible for you guys. I can't be held accountable for what goes on down the street or down the street or anywhere else, only what goes on here. And we, to the best of our ability, are obedient to this word here. Humble ourselves. Pray and seek the face of God. Show me where I'm wrong with you. Show me. Humble ourselves. What do we do in this church before communion? What do we do when everyone sits down, Darren gets up here and pray, and started with me and everyone else? What do we do? Humble yourself, seek the face of God, turn from your sins, starting with me, the pastor. I'm no different or better than you. I love it on the way in here, especially on communion Sundays. God, have mercy on my soul. Lord, make me a clean vessel, one that you can use in here on this Sunday, that's got no sin on account of what you did on the cross and on account of what happened when you and your son took counsel together and decided you were going to obliterate my sins. Not because of me, but because of him. And I can stand here before you a healed and a forgiven man with no more sins than him. That's how serious blood is. It can even forgive me. So I believe we're living this verse. I believe that's why people get healed in this church. We could have testimony Sunday in here of the people with terminal diseases that have got healed in this church, because God still heals today when you do it his way. Okay, so God heard, God remembered. Third thing it says is God looked. He looked on the children of Israel. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Chronicles, this is one to add to your handout. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9, it says this. I love this verse. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Amen. That's the right answer. When the Apostle Paul read things like this, he said, what shall we say? You see, at the realization and understanding that God was on his side, there was no stopping the man from walking into whatever lion's den that stinking old devil had for him. The realization that God is on your side is all you ever need. No matter who you are in here today, God is for you if you've called on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. Call on the name of the Lord and walk with him. Agree with those things I told you again. By golly, let me read them again. Walk with God, not with the world. Agree with God about abortion, marriage, and salvation in Christ alone. There's probably more I could add to that too. But if you're against those things, that you're the hostile enemy of God, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked me that. That's James chapter 4, verse 4. Where God calls you an adulterer. Don't you know the friendship where the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So that's not me calling you that. I want to see you guys prosper and believe what God says in his word. All right, the fourth thing is, it says God acknowledged. He acknowledged them. And likewise, He acknowledges you. I love that. He acknowledges you. That's like, say you're up in heaven, and then all of a sudden, someone spoke your name. And God heard it and said, yeah, I know him, and I know her. He acknowledges you. Like it happens to you all the time. Someone says, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know them. Jesus said, and if you doubt me, don't doubt me. I'm telling you what the word says. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. God acknowledges you. He knows who you are. So it's not just them, it's you too. All right, let's move on. Chapter 3. What time does the Super Bowl start today? I think we'll be all right. Preach till 2, lunch till 4, Gatorade shower after that, right, Robin? Oh. Chapter 3. Let's look at the burning bush. Finally, an hour into my sermon, I'm going to get to where we're going and spend 5 minutes here. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. I keep thinking of Jethro Bodine. You know, I need a new mind. Jethro. Or Leroy Jethro. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.